right. Why don't we turn to Ephesians chapter 6, just to start with. So this is a series concerning prayers about evangelism. Basically asking the question, how do I pray before I evangelize or while I evangelize and even after I evangelize? You know, how do I pray? And so these are some points here, just looking at Scripture, what does Scripture say about praying concerning our evangelism? So we're going to be looking at some passages tonight, looking at some bullet points and understanding. We're not going to get through everything tonight, but so that's why this is a series. But I want you to understand one thing, is that evangelism is a spiritual work. Okay, it's not a job. It's not an occupation. It's not like how you go, you know, you work Monday through Friday or Monday through Saturday, get a paycheck. That's not what evangelism is. It's not that. It's a spiritual work. Neither is it a hobby or a pastime. Okay? I mean, I could view it as a hobby because I just like it. Okay? But it's not that either. It's not that either. Because when you think of a hobby or a pastime, you know, you kind of do it here and there, just kind of when you want to, just kind of, you know, just when you feel like it. That's not evangelism either. It's God's work, and it's His will for us. And so that means it's a grand and gigantic responsibility. It is the one thing that Jesus left us, part of the Great Commission, is evangelizing and then making disciples. That's what Christ left the church for us to do. And so in this time, we're supposed to be doing this work. It's a great responsibility. And so there's a lot of work and results. When we think about evangelism, I don't know if you have ever think about this when you go out evangelizing. Sometimes you talk to people and you think, I just don't know exactly what to say to this person or that person, or, you know, I mean, we know we ought to preach the gospel. There's all kinds of, there's various situations out there. A lot of strongholds, a lot of imaginations out there. And so sometimes the work and the results, a lot of times, it's out of our hands. I mean, the Bible does say God gives the increase. Yeah. And so we when we think about this, it is something different than anything else that we do in our regular lives. So, since this is God's work, and this is God does the saving, and God is the one involved in our evangelism, we have to pray to Him. Amen. So the New Testament presents to us examples of how and what to pray before and during our evangelistic efforts. So I'm going to give you some points here. What do we pray? Well, here's number one. Boldness. Boldness. That's a given. Boldness. And we see this in Ephesians 6, verses 18 through 20. Obviously, we know that this is the grand passage on spiritual warfare. And so in verses 18 through 20, it reads here, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So he's speaking about the spiritual warfare, and in Paul's situation, his situation of spiritual warfare, it was administering the gospel, as he did a lot of his life. And what is his one prayer that he's asking for? Boldness. That he may open his mouth boldly. Well, what does that mean? The word for to speak boldly is parousia. So I know some people, I know there's been, like in fundamentalism, you'll get into this whole idea, this word of power, all right? And some people will confuse boldness with power. Well, it's not the word for power, which is dunamis. This is parousia. So this is different. What does that mean? Well, it's the enablement to speak freely, to be frank in speech, to have an openness with what is spoken. If you were to break down the word, it means to pour it all out. That's what it really means. If you were break it out into its two pieces of what the word means, it means to pour it all out, pour forth all your utterance. Synonyms, obviously, when we think about boldness, what comes along with boldness is courage, confidence. So this prayer is a prayer for courage and confidence to speak freely, frankly, and openly the word of the gospel. The context of Ephesians 6 is spiritual warfare with the devil and the darkness of this world. The fact that we Christians are constantly encountering warfare and conflict from the devil and his angels induces the need for prayer and supplication in the efforts of preaching the gospel. And here we're speaking of the Apostle Paul, who encountered so many situations when he preached the gospel. And so many times where he could have thought, why don't I just be quiet, not say anything? And so, you know, the battle is there. 1 Thessalonians 2:2 show the relationship among preaching the gospel, suffering for it, and the boldness that is needed during such suffering and contention. So you see where these things are paired up. You know, suffering, boldness, you're going through suffering, going through the contentious times with the world, and you're seeing that need for boldness so that you would be able, that you would be speaking as freely as you should. You can say it this way, no holding back. No holding back, letting it loose. Now, the presence, actually, let's go to another passage here. In Acts 4, we see another instance of this. You actually see an example where they do pray. Acts 4. 29. So this is a prayer from the saints. In their prayer, they say this in verse 29, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Now, of course, there's some dispensational things here. You know, we don't have signs and wonders and miracles for today, but what we do have here is an example of these saints praying for boldness, and what do they do? They speak the word of God with boldness. Amen. Which also tells me it can happen. Because in our mind, we can think it's impossible. It's not. It's not impossible. It is possible. Say, but I don't have the personality for it. I can't speak. You can. You can with God's help. You can. If you just pray for God's help. Now, the presence and possibility of persecution, suffering, and affliction for preaching the gospel can generate a fear to openly preach the truth of God's word, or to be forthright, or to speak the gospel when it should be. Fear can enter into us, into our flesh. And then we're motivated not to speak. Hence, we need to pray for ourselves as well for others to have the courage to freely speak. We also need to pray for one another to have the courage to speak when the time comes. There's a lot coming against a believer to keep him quiet and shut down. All the realms of spiritual darkness present in the world and the flesh battle against the believer to open the mouth and speak the gospel freely with confidence to say all that should be said. So, well, what's the first thing you should pray for? You get into, let's say you're anticipating the situation. Now, we can't anticipate every situation, okay? But there are some situations that we can anticipate that are going to happen, that we know we will have an opportunity to speak the gospel. Your prayer should be, Lord, help me to speak freely in those times. In this opportunity that is, I know it's coming my way, okay? Because you start thinking about it, you start thinking, I don't know, not quite sure about this, and fear starts to settle in. Well, it's where you go to the Lord in prayer, and he helps you to have the boldness just to pour it all out. You know, we poured cement today. I was watching them pour it out of the pump. And I'm thinking about that now. It's in my mind. Just pouring it all out. Just letting the gospel loose from your mouth. Not holding it back. Not restraining it. Letting it loose like you're setting it free. So we need prayer for that. Because in our flesh, we don't want to do that. I mean, sometimes we're okay with it. I mean, some personalities are okay with that, okay? All right? But not every personality and not every moment do we ever want to feel to do that. And there's different fears that we have. But we need to be praying, constantly praying. You know, in verse 18 here in Ephesians 6, praying always. This is a constant prayer we need. So, and not just praying for ourselves. We're praying for others. That's why when we pray for missionaries, you think about these missionaries, you think of all these flags here, you think of all these mission fields, and I think of William Carey, and I think of Adoniram Judson that I've been reading through the book, and I think of all the things that could have stopped them from going further. What helped them? Praying. Praying to the Lord for, and it's not just praying for boldness, there's other things that I have listed here, but this is one of the things, praying for these missionaries, because some of them are in very hard situations, and it's very tough. They need that boldness to preach the gospel. All right, number two. You say, that was quick. They get longer here. So, number two. Open doors of utterance. Open doors of utterance. Colossians 4. Colossians 4. And I know Brother Daniel will be getting there when he finishes chapter 3. Maybe he won't get there for a while. Maybe he'll park on some things here. So it's okay. But Colossians 4, 2 through 4, we have here, it says, continue in prayer. And watch in the same with thanksgiving, withal praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. So a lot of similar verbiage here as in Ephesians 6. But here, notice here is praying for us. This is Paul asking the Colossians here to pray for them. And we know that, you know, we get letters from our missionaries. What are they constantly asking us? They're asking us to pray. okay? When I talk with Headwaters, every time I ask, pray for us. Now, we're praying for you, but I'm asking you guys to pray for us. You say, but no, you guys are Bethel. You don't need prayers. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. We need prayers just as much as anyone else in the world. So the whole idea of pray for us is a very biblical thing. Verse 2 seems to present a general exhortation towards prayer and watchfulness, but verses 3 and 4 presents a specific course of prayer to be found in the wide breadth of all their prayers. Note here, we are praying for the person who preaches the gospel. In this case, more than for the gospel itself. We're praying for the person who is preaching the gospel. That person needs prayer. Not the seed, the one casting the seed. He needs prayer. And it's not that we don't pray, even pray for our own selves, but I'm just saying what it says here, pray for us. It's Paul asking for prayer. Asking others to pray for him. Now the prayer here is for God to open a door of utterance. The idea of open is an opportunity opened for the gospel to be preached. Here we see a lot of the aorist tense in verses 3 and 4. We see it with the word open in verse 3. Make manifest in verse 4. And then to speak. All these are aorist tense verbs. Which, of course, the aorist tense in the Greek has the idea of point action. What do we gather from that? Well, this means to us that these opportunities are points in time. These are points in time, or you could say blocks of time. Blocks of time. For who knows how long? I mean, when you think of an opening of time, well, what is that, 5 minutes? Is that an hour? 2 weeks? 2 years? We don't know. We don't know. But however long it's open, it's open. Amen. So it opens, and then it can close. How quick, however quick, we don't know. But it tells us that sometimes our opportunities have brief openings. And this is when we need to step up and speak, lest the door closes for good. And we don't know when it closes for good, but it might. What if it does? And we're too late. It tells us that these opportunities may be surprise openings. Like it opens up, you didn't realize it was going to open up, but it did. It's a surprise. It may be unexpected. It may be spontaneous. You know, when we pray for open doors of utterance, it's not like we are foreseeing when that's going to be. It's going to be at 2:45 p.m. at such time. You don't know exactly. It might be. You might imagine it to be. You might think, you might foresee and plan it in your mind. That's the way it's going to be. But you don't know that. Could be sooner. Could be later. A lot of things happen in a day. But we're praying for open doors of utterance. However the Lord opens those, he can. But we got to be ready. You know, so that's where we come in. Well, what's our side of it? You know, God does his side of opening the door. Our side is being ready to go through the door. Amen. So I guess the question is, are you ready when you're supposed to be ready? So, right? So we're praying for open doors. And God will open doors. I mean, Pastor Sutton has countless examples where he has prayed and God opened the door that day. It definitely can happen. But we got to pray for it, though. Got to pray for it. The word for utterance here is the word logos, which is a speech or a discourse. So then your opportunities may be chances to give a whole presentation of the gospel. Isn't that wonderful when that does happen? When you have the chance to preach, you know, sometimes you only get through 1 point or you get to 2 points and that's kind of where it ends. But to actually get through the entire gospel with somebody, that's quite amazing. That's quite amazing. Or even just maybe a solid portion of it. You deal with one portion of it in a very solid way, and the opening to be able to allow that was sufficient enough to allow you to do it. That's quite amazing. These may be chances in which you are allotted a block of time to speak, and in that block of time, you can speak a good presentation of the gospel. And so you have the opportunity to discourse the gospel to a person or a large audience. Now, it says here, that in verse 4, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. To speak, which is in verse 3 as well. To speak, and then verse 4, to speak. That's laleo, which means to speak with the mouth. To speak with the mouth. This thing. This is called the mouth. Like we teach our kids, this is your mouth, not your eyes, okay, not your ears. It's the mouth, which talks with words that you hear, okay? Now, certainly, it's good and write the pass-out tracts. We live in an age where we have a whole track rack, right? It's great. I like passing out tracts. I passed out tracts to the Spanish guys. Gave them our ultimate questions, ultimates preguntas, okay? I gave it to them because I don't speak Spanish, so... I can't speak in the Spanish tongue. I only know a few words, iglesia, you know, just a few words, but I don't know, I can't fluently speak to them in Spanish. So I gave them those tracts. I'm glad to have the tracts. It's wonderful. But what if I could speak Spanish? I could just hand them those pamphlets and then leave it at that. Or if I could speak Spanish, if I were to follow this verse to speak, probably be better for me to speak to them with words, amen, with my mouth, amen, in Spanish. You know, I'm not against tracts. I'm not against tracts. We should pass out tracts. It's a great, valuable tool, you know. But if we're going to actually look at the commands and look at what Scripture says about preaching the gospel, the preaching is through the mouth. Yes. Through the mouth. Back in Paul's day, they didn't have tracts. Like, here's a scroll. No, they didn't do that. Okay? They actually had to speak with the mouth. And that's, you know, following this command here. That's boldness. You know, it's easy to hand someone a tract, but when you actually have to open your mouth and talk about what's in the tract, that's a harder thing. I'm one to admit to that. It's a much harder thing to actually open your mouth and speak what are the contents in that tract. Because it can get uncomfortable. It kind of get, you know, like, I don't know if I want to open this discussion. They might give me some evil eyes. They might look at me weird. You know, all of those things that go through your brain, okay? But that's why we need boldness, to open our mouths to speak boldly. Amen. So that's going beyond the practice of passing out tracts. So when we're actually asking for open doors of utterance, we're asking for open doors of utterance. Yes. Yes. Right. Utterance. Open doors for us to speak. And so again, I present that scenario for you. The door opens. God opens the door. What do you do? Speak. Now, you can pray for this for the situations in your life. Sometimes it's situational. Sometimes it's systematic. You know, sometimes you go door knocking. How many times you go door knocking sometimes and, you know, it's not home, not home, not home, not home, not home, not home, not home. Okay? While you're going through that, as you're walking from this door to the next door, what could you be praying? You could be praying, Lord, please open a door. Literally, open a door, you know? Open a door so I can speak the gospel. You know what I found? It does happen. It does happen. You know what I found too? When I don't do it, my chances are fewer. Okay? So, you know, this is where we have to consciously think as we go out, and even before we go out. That's why when we park, where we go, we park. What's the first thing we do? We pray. We pray. Because it's biblical to pray before and during our evangelism. Now, I want us to consider some passages where we see this exemplified in Acts. If you turn to Acts 14:27, there's a report here from Paul. And it says here, and when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. God had opened the door for the gospel to be preached to the Gentiles so that they would believe. So this is Paul's report when he returns to Antioch. Well, what is he reporting? What had happened? How did God open the door? How did the gospel get to these Gentiles? How was it opened so that the gospel could get to them? We're going to look at some of these passages, some scenarios here. If you look at chapter 13, verses 6 to 12, we see the incident here of Sergius Paulus, the deputy of the country. And it says in verse 6, and when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul, and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O fool of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. So we have opposition here, but we see through it all, you say, there's some dark clouds here that were clouding and fogging up the idea that the gospel could be preached. But it opened up. It opened up. And the deputy saw this. Saw what had happened. And guess what? He was ripe to listen. And he believed. So God opened that door for Sergius Paulus. When we look at verses 13 through 51, I'm not going to read the entire thing. I just want to give you a synopsis. This is Antioch in Pisidia. At first, they preached in the synagogue of the Jews a solid presentation of Jesus the Messiah. But verse 42, if you look at verse 42, says, "And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath." Oh, now the Gentiles are interested. But what first had happened? A preaching to the Jews who didn't receive it, but now the Gentiles want to hear it. The door was open. See, the Jews got envious and tried to stop and close the door. But Paul rehearsed that his mission was to bring the light of salvation to the Gentiles. And the Gentiles there were very glad to hear that. Many Gentiles then turned to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the word of God went throughout the whole region. And so that's in that passage in chapter 13, 13 through 51. In chapter 14, 1 through 5, it reads this, "And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake, that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles, and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time therefore abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews, and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about, and there they preached the gospel." So here, they had a long time there boldly preaching the gospel, even though the Jews stirred up the Gentiles against them and their preaching. Looks like the door is closing. But then the door opened up. It's like an elevator. You know, door is closing. Ding, ding, opens up. Okay, it opened up. And they got a long open door to preach. It's like you pushed hold. And it opened. In verses 6 through 19, we see the story of Lystra. And again, I'm not going to read the entire thing here. I just want to give you a synopsis. There happened to be a crippled man. A crippled man that Paul healed. The whole city was excited about, willing to worship Paul and Barnabas. But again, the Jews came again and again, trying to persuade the people against them. Verse 7 shows that they preached the gospel in these places. The case of the crippled man opened a door of utterance for Paul and Barnabas. A crippled man. A circumstance of a crippled man opened the door for them to preach the gospel. In verses 20 and 21, we can read this. It says, "Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch." So it says that they preached the gospel there. Now, we don't know the details, but we do know that according to the report of verse 27, that God did open the door there. Verses 21 through 23, we read it again here in verse 21, "And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples, and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church, and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord, on whom they believed." So here we have these cities, Lystra, Derbe, Iconium, Antioch. The people received the gospel and were saved. Now, Paul and Barnabas went backwards to all these cities, confirming those who repented and believed, exhorting them to continue even through trials and persecutions, and ordaining elders in each church form. So if you can kind of view it from a map, they went from this city to this city to this city to this city, then they went back to go check up on all those believers. So the report, did God open the door of faith to the Gentiles? Indeed he did. Indeed he did. And so this was the report of the door of faith open to the Gentiles, of how God brought faith and salvation to the Gentiles through the preaching of Paul and Barnabas. What I am saying is here is that God does open doors to utter, to preach the gospel. And how does God do it sometimes? You notice that in these stories and these narratives, they're all different. They're all different stories, different cases, different ways that God opened the doors of faith. And that's what I'm saying is, sometimes God opens the doors in a lot of different ways. It's not cookie cutter. In a lot of different ways he does it. And sometimes it surprises. Things that we wouldn't think would open the door, but they actually do. I mean, we saw that in some of these cases. We thought it was closing the door, but actually it was opening the door. Sometimes God uses connections. Sometimes he uses connections. Elymas the sorcerer was friends with Sergius Paulus, a friend, okay? Some relationship there to someone else, you know? Even though it was an evil guy, it looks like he could close up the door, but actually, it opened the door. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes it's the reverse. Sometimes the evil person closes the door. But there can be cases where that situation actually opens the door to someone else hearing the gospel, which is quite amazing. Okay? I mean, we deal with a lot of evil and wicked people in this world. And so sometimes our conflict or affliction with that person might open the door with one, you know, this person and that person right next to them. We don't know it. But God does that sometimes. Connections. God used congregating Jews, which was a speaking opportunity. He had a chance to speak in front of these Jews. Even though it wasn't received by the Jews, guess what? It opened the door to the Gentiles to hear the gospel. So sometimes you're given a speaking opportunity, and that might open the door for you to preach the gospel in a lot of different ways. And, you know, we talk about times where we have funerals and we have a chance to speak. You know, those are open doors where we can utter the gospel. So sometimes it opens up in that way. God used the censorship of the Jews. Persecution. Persecution. Sometimes persecution will open the door for others to hear the gospel. You know, people in the community may hear about persecution upon a church or whatever, and that might open their eyes. I've been seeing this throughout Baptist history. That every time the government or the religious establishment in that time tried to extinguish the Baptists, guess what? They multiplied. More people wanted to become Baptists. You think it would have the opposite effect, that people would be running away. But actually, it doesn't happen that way. When we were at the table there with Brother Kumar and hearing about his ministry and hearing about how hard it is for Indians to become Christians. And yet, he has so many. I mean, you saw the pictures. How many congregations were started? You would think with persecution, it would be fewer. But actually, sometimes with persecution, it multiplies faith. And that's, you know, a paradox, but sometimes God uses that. And then obviously we have another here with the crippled man. What is this? A moment of ministry. Sometimes we're in our moment of ministry, and lo and behold, in the midst of it, it opens a door of utterance. Now, we're all doing ministry in various ways, sometimes through the school or what, but sometimes doors open for us to preach the gospel as we're just doing our regular ministries. Sometimes doors open. You know, maybe, you know, we're teaching Sunday school here, or we're doing nursery or whatever, and we have a visitor. Okay? You know, dropping off the kid, or, you know, dropping off the kid at the Sunday school or whatever, or something like that. And guess what? Open door. As we're doing ministry, in our moment of ministry, there it is. Open doors. I'm just saying, God can open doors, so we have to be praying for it. We have to be praying that God can open doors. So number one, we pray for boldness. Not only for ourselves, but also for others. For our fellow brethren who are preaching the gospel. Okay? Then we also pray for open doors. For us to speak the gospel in many different, various situations that we can have. You know, even in our door knocking, our systematic evangelism, praying that we'd have doors of utterance before we go out, as we are going out, as we're walking to the next door. Sometimes I'm at a door and I'm praying. Okay, I'm actually praying because I don't know what's behind that doorknob. Okay, I don't know if it's going to open. I don't know. But sometimes I'm praying as I'm at that door because I want to have an opportunity. And I want to be able to freely speak the gospel without fear, without hesitation, to go as far as I can. So, these are prayers that we can pray. Boldness, open doors of utterance. I have more, though. I have more. Come back next time. Amen. Let's pray.